الفاتحة. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون الذي لا يدركه بعد الهمم ولا يناله غوص الفطن الذي ليس لصفته حد محدود ولا نعت موجود ولا وقت معدود ولا أجل ممدود فطر الخلائق بقدرته ونشر الرياح برحمته ووتد بالصخور ميدان أرضه والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين خاتم النبيين سيدنا الممجد بشيرنا المصدق نذيرنا المؤيد المصطفى الأمجد محمود الأحمد الذي سمي في السماء بأحمد وفي الأرض بأبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين قال عنهم الرسول اللهم إن هؤلاء أهل بيتي وخاصتي وحامتي لحمهم لحمي ودمهم دمي يؤلمني ما يؤلمهم ويحزنني ما يحزنهم أنا حرب لمن حاربهم وسلم لمن سالمهم وعدو لمن عاداهم ومحب لمن أحبهم إنهم مني وأنا منهم فاجعل صلواتك وبركاتك ورحمتك وغفرانك ورضوانك علي وعليهم وأذهب عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم ومبغضيهم وغاصب حقوقهم ومنكر فضائلهم من أول يوم ظلمهم إلى لقاء يوم الدين. أما بعد، سلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم بمصابنا بأبي عبد الله الحسين عليه السلام. We have been discussing about the lofty status of man and the potential of man, and we have made the people of Karbala the basis of understanding the psychological understanding of the people who came and fought against the grandson of the Holy Prophet of Islam in the plains of Karbala 61 after Hijrah. Yesterday, I mentioned to you various understandings of this human being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. I emphasized on a particular point where man who has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the absolute authority on earth unfortunately does not realize his own potential. The man who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes pride in creating, he congratulates himself after the creation of man. The man who has been given the power of intellect, the man who has the ability to analyze a problem, the man who has the ability to synthesize a problem, the man who can travel from the known into the unknown, the man who can travel from the unknown into the known, is a man who has been given the absolute authority by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be able to govern his affairs. On top of that, Allah has given this man a free will, a choice for man to decide his own destination at the end of the day. But this man does not understand his potential. He does not realize who he is. He does not realize the purpose of his creation. He does not know the direction that he needs to take towards the ultimate and the final goal. His thoughts are distorted. His ideas are polluted. He does not understand or at least try to understand what the reality of life is. Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Mentions, and I mentioned this in the first majlis, and I want to develop on this. Imam alayhi salatu wasalam says, O man, dawa'uka feek wa ma tabsur. The cure lies within you, but you do not see it. Wada'uka feek wa ma tabsur. And the illness is also within you, but you do not realize. وأنت الكتاب المبين الذي بأحرفه يظهر المضمر. You are an open book. In every letter of that book, there is a hidden meaning. أتزعم أنك جرم صغير. Do you consider yourself to be an insignificant mass? وفيك انطوى العالم الأكبر. When within you lies a great big universe. A universe that is within you. You are a possessor of a universe of which you yourself are oblivious. You do not have the idea of what you are. You do not know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Everything is in you. And I complemented this with a poem which says, by the poet which says, if you look at a man and you see him, he says, kya kuch nahi ye mushte ghubar. This man who you see, what is it that he does not have? Or agar sochiye to khak bhi insaan nahi. And if you think about it, then man does not even have dust, or he is not even worth dust. Yesterday I mentioned to you that Allah has given you and I a trust. A trust that we have taken the responsibility of carrying. A trust that we have decided to take in our hands. A trust that the heavens refuse to carry. A trust that the earth refuse to carry. A trust that the mountains with all its might refuse to carry. Is a trust that has been carried by man. What is this trust that Allah has given to man? And what is the responsibility of man in relation to this trust? If you see the existence of man, if you observe the reality of what is before you, all you need to do is keep your eyes open to observe and allow your mind to ponder and reflect upon this very existence of yours. And you will see a new picture unfolding every day of your life. What is this trust that I have? There are, if I present to you an imaginative pyramid in front of you. At the bottom of this pyramid lie the inanimate objects. The objects that are inanimate. What do inanimate objects do? They occupy space and do not have the potential of any growth. The mountain, the way you see it, it is exactly the way it is. From the time it was created until the time when this world goes through the huge crunch that they call. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا. On that particular day, when this earth brings a huge shaking and everything will perish, this mountain will remain exactly in the same manner. All it does, the stones and everything that you see, it occupies space and does not have the potential of growth. If you take the second level from the bottom in the pyramid, you will find the world of vegetables, world of vegetation as they call. Here, they occupy space, but they have a potential of limited growth. A tree grows, it comes out from the ground, and it grows in one direction only, but it reaches its full potential at times. And that is the end of the growth of this particular plant or vegetation. So it occupies space, has the potential of growth. Then you go a higher level in the pyramid, and you see the world of animals. The animal occupies space, it has the potential of growth, and an extra thing which Allah has given to it is the ability to move. So you see that the inanimate objects only occupy space. The world of vegetation occupies space and has the potential of growth. The world of animal occupies space. It also has the potential of growth and it also has free movement. At the top of this pyramid lies man. A human being created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has occupied space, has the potential of growth, has the potential of movement, and above all, has the potential of thinking. Above all, this man has the potential of thinking. Allah has gifted this man with aql. He has given man this power of intellect for this man to travel anywhere he wants, whatever he wants. The Holy Prophet of Islam's essential role was to come on earth, give man the full authority in his hand, that should he decide to split the moon into two, he is able to do it. That was what the Holy Prophet of Islam came to do. It was man who himself downgraded his position. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ وَحَمَلْنَاهُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. We honored man. We then carried him over the oceans and we carried him over the dry lands. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ وَحَمَلْنَاهُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَخَلَقْنَا وَفَضَّلْنَاهُ مِمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا. And we have given him excellence over so many things that we have created. This man. But this man fails to understand what huge potential he has in himself. And Amir al-Mu'mineen keeps repeating that you have a universe within you. This amanat that we carried is, now after this pyramid, the amanat that we are carrying with us is the amanat of returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by our own actions. The inanimate objects do not have the ability to go back to Allah by refinement of their thought. They do not have any potential of growth in sense of intellectual growth. Therefore, on the day of judgment, when the huge crunch takes place and this world comes to annihilation, these stones will remain exactly the same and will return back to Allah in exactly the same manner. There is no further potential. The vegetation will also do exactly the same. They are here for a purpose. They will fulfill their purpose. They will return without any potential or any growth. The way it is, it will return back to Allah. The lion will go back exactly in the same manner. The whale will return in the same manner. The hasharat, the insects will go back in the same manner. No potential of growth. But man will never go back exactly the way he was brought here. What trust the man has taken from Allah is that, my Lord, all I need from you is intellect. I need from you the eyes. I need from you the nose. I need from you the chest. I need from you the conscience. I need from you the soul. I need all these as tools for me to make myself. Man has not come here ready-made. He has come here to become. Man has come here to become. He has not come here ready-made. So he is here making himself. Allah says, يَوْمَ تُبَلَ السَّرَائِرِ. There is going to come a day when the curtain shall be raised, when man will be able to see himself from the opposite side, to see what he has made of himself. He will then return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah will take pride by saying to the angels, did I not tell you, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Did I not tell you I know about this man what you do not know? This is the potential of man. This is the amanat that he is carrying. So he has the intellect. And then on top of that, Allah has given him a free will. Allah has given him a choice. Allah has given him the intellect to choose good from bad. There is something which is inherent in him that he is born with. And that Allah has already inspired into it good and bad. And it is the choice of man through his intellectual power to do whatever he wants. The greatest gift to man that Allah has given is the power of intellect. So this is the amanat. But what is man? Man has a physical existence which is here for the continuity of the same species. The creation of man is the divine element. So long as Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was only clay or an idol of clay without the divine element in him, the angels used to pass him day and night without submitting to him, without even looking at him, without focusing at him, without paying any attention at him. He was only a created clay that was present there. But the moment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blew the divine element into him, he then commanded the angels, فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. Now I want you to prostrate to Adam. So, look at the creation of man. Let us see what I am, what I am made of, what is me, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created me, what is it that I don't have, and what is it that I have, and how I can use this to reach my master, my Lord. Surely, Hussein ibn Ali in Karbala was seeing something that we don't see, giving Ali Asghar away and yet saying, my Lord, I have orphaned my children to meet you, was something that he was seeing beyond. What was it that he was trying to show to you and I? What was it that he was trying to tell us? What was it that Amirul Mu'mineen was trying to talk to tell us about? That is what we need to understand. Let us look at the creation of this man who has this huge world existing within him. And then from tomorrow, we start analyzing our own intellect, the gift that Allah has given us, how we have used this gift, and how we have understood our faith, and how we have understood our religion before we move forward into this subject. Allah has created man in two forms. There are two existences of man. There is a parallel existence of the physical body that you see, and there is a spiritual divine element in man. This is the creation of man. And Allah explains this in the most eloquent manner in Quran. He says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينَ. We have created man from the essence of the soil. Sulala in Urdu is gili mitti, and gili mitti is known as kichar in Urdu language. This is what I have been created of. Gili mitti means kichar. In English, kichar is mud, the essence of the mud. So Allah says, as far as my physical being is concerned, please listen to these verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those who are studying embryology, who are studying medicine, every verse of this will show you the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ. We have created man of the essence of the soil. ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ. Then we caused this to refine further. We caused it to become a sperm. And then we caused this sperm to rest in a firm place. Allah talks about the existence of man, the physical existence of man. ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ. We caused it to become a sperm. We caused this sperm to go and rest in a firm place. ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَا النُّطْفَةَ عَلَقَةً. Then we caused this sperm to become a clot of blood. فَخَلَقْنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُضْغَةً. Then we caused this clot of blood to become a lump of flesh. فَخَلَقْنَا الْمُضْغَةَ عِظَامًا. Then we caused this lump of flesh to become bones. فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمًا. Then we clothed these bones with flesh. ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرٌ. Then we put a parallel existence with him. تَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. God glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best of the creation. Allah subhanahu
wa ta'ala.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala congratulates himself. I will only translate this verse again. We caused it to become a sperm. We caused the sperm to rest in a firm place. We caused this sperm within the resting place to become a clot of blood. We caused this clot of blood to become a lump of flesh. We caused this lump of flesh to become bones. We clothed these bones with flesh. And then we gave him a parallel existence. We gave him another existence. After giving him that existence, until this level, there was nothing of man. But the moment we blew that divine element, that parallel existence to him, then Allah congratulates himself by saying, فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. Glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best of the creators. Having created this man, this is how sophisticated my physical existence is. If I was to study the scientific aspect of it and explain to you the scientific aspect of it, it will bewilder you even more, and in every part of it you will see nothing but the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, having created this, this is a process of refinement of this gili mitti, of this sulala, of this essence, of this soil. It was refined from there. It went into a soil, from a soil into the trunk of the tree, from the trunk of the tree into the branches, from the branches into the leaves, from the leaves into the fruits, from the fruits into the stomach of man, from there into the spines, from the spines into the sperm, from the sperm into the resting place. All these are processes of refinement which requires you and I to study and understand the psychological, the philosophical aspects of it, which I am not interested in at this present moment. This is a process of refinement, sperm into a clot of blood, more refinement into a lump of flesh, more refinement into bones, more refinement into clothing of those bones, more refinement after that is this second parallel existence with it. What is the evidence of this second parallel existence? Dreams, conscience of a man. And then we will talk about nafs, the soul. There is a difference between the soul and the spirit. In the science of ethics, heart, soul, spirit are all the same. In philosophy, spirit is something else, heart is something else, and soul is something else. You need to understand what is a spirit, what is a soul, what is the heart. But this is the process of refinement. What is the proof of existence of this man in his second existence, the parallel existence? a very brief and a quick example before we move forward. You've heard of this phenomena of deja vu. This is a phenomena in which sometimes, for example, you feel that you have visited a particular place. You know you've never been there. You know this place is somewhere you have never ever been before. You've never seen it. But somehow the moment you reach there, you feel, Allahu Akbar, I don't know why I feel I have been here. I know the corners here. I know there is a shop here. And you know in the hearts of your heart that you've never been there. Or sometimes you are in a conversation with someone. And in that conversation, for some reason you feel, I've had this conversation before. I've seen this before. It was in exactly the same format that we were sitting. That is deja vu. It was not you physically that did that. It was you, the soul, that had traveled in advance, because it is not restricted to time or space. When you go to sleep at night, you are experiencing death without knowing that death is occurring. Because the spirit of yours leaves you, not spirit. You leave this body, which is a host to you. You leave this body, you move away, but you are attached to it. With one small sound, it immediately returns back, because it is not restricted to time or space. But the day it does not return back is when you are dead. The day you do not return back to this host of yours, to this vehicle that you are using, that is the day when you are considered to be dead. Before that, you still live, but you live. Your body lives through you. It does not live on its own. This existence of man is the marvel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This existence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And then, within this existence, there is a universe. A huge universe that Allah has created. And the best part of this universe is that Allah has given to it the power of shu'ur, thinking, conscious and intellect. And the soul. You know, in Quran, sometimes when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to emphasize a particular point, He makes the emphasis of this point by taking an oath. Many a times you will see in Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking an oath. Wat-teen waz-zaytun, I swear by the olives and the figs. Wat-turi sinin, and I swear by Mount Sinai. Wa-hadha al-balad al-amin, and I swear by this peaceful city. Another place, la uqsimu bi-yawm al-qiyamah, I swear by the day of judgment. Many places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath. Read Quran, study Quran, and you will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking so many oaths. We read Quran on dead people. Quran has come for living people. We read it for dead people. But it has come for living people. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Yasin, وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشِّعْرَ. We did not teach the Holy Prophet of Islam poetry. وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ. You see, the Arabs were used to poetry. So when the Holy Prophet of Islam was revealing the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reciting it to those people, they were confusing it with poetry. So Allah now says, He clarifies the point. He says, وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشِّعْرَ. We did not teach the Holy Prophet of Islam poetry. وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ. It was not the intention of ours to teach him poetry. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ وَقُرْآنٌ مُبِينٌ. These verses are the remembrance and the verses of Allah revealed to the Holy Prophet. Why was it revealed? لِيُنْذِرَ مَنْ كَانَ حَيَّا. It was revealed to warn those who are alive. It was revealed to be recited to those who are alive. Yes, the dead people get the thawab for it when we recite it. But we are supposed to ponder over these verses of Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes so many oaths in Quran. And then after taking oath, He then puts the point across so that everyone understands the importance of it. Refer to Quran and see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken many oaths, but there is one surah in which Allah, if I am not mistaken, and if my mutali'ah, my study of Quran is is, if I am confident about it, I don't think Allah has taken more oaths than in Surah Ash-Shams. There are so many oaths, I believe up to 11 oaths before He actually draws the point home. He puts the point home. He emphasizes the point. 11 oaths. He says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Wash-Shamsi, Wa-Duhaha. I swear by the sun and the glory of the sun and the light of the sun. Wash-Shamsi, Wa-Duhaha, Wal-Qamari Iza Talaha. And I swear by the moon that follows the sun. وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا. And I swear by the day when it gives its full glory. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا. And I swear by the night that covers the day. وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا. وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا. And I swear by the heavens and the one who created it. وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا طَحَاهَا. And I swear by the earth and the one who stretched it. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. And I swear by the soul and the one who perfected it. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. And after perfecting it, He inspired into the soul what is good and what is bad. And then He says, Wallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after taking so many oaths, says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. One who purifies this soul has succeeded. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And one who pollutes this soul has failed miserably. So many oaths Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes in relation to what is within me. What is it that will govern me towards good? What is it that will govern me towards bad? What is it that I need from my existence to be able to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the manner that I have taken that amanat from Him? All these things, my fellow brothers, are needed to be elaborated further and further and further for man to understand. The greatest gift to man is freedom that Allah has given to him. He is free to move. He is free to do whatever. And in terms of inquiry, Allah allows man to go into any length to make inquiries, to be able to reach the truth by his own intellectual ability. So sometimes when we make inquiries and we say we are making inquiry regarding this verse of Quran, people say, Mawlana, you are doing kufr. There is no kufr when you make an inquiry. When you are discussing something which needs to be understood, there is no kufr in it, because the more you inquire, the more you will reach the truth. The less you inquire, the further away you will remain from the truth. The truth can only be understood, and the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can only be realized and appreciated when I probe any amount of questions into the very existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For I will not understand Him. We say, the Holy Prophet of Islam says, مَنْ عَرَفَ نَفْسَهُ فَقَدْ عَرَفَ رَبَّهُ. One who understands one's own self truly understands Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to be able to understand Him, I need to understand myself. To be able to understand myself, I need to see this freedom that I have been given. I need to see that I am not restricted by so many rituals that I do to make inquiries. Because other than that, if I am restricted by so many things, I will fail to make inquiries. I will not be able to move forward. For me to be able to understand my own being and my existence, it requires for me to be inquisitive. So this is briefly the overview of the creation of man. There is a physical creation of man. There is a spiritual creation of man. Allah has created man in this beautiful fashion for man to be able to prove to all the other creations that I am better than you. I have been created by Allah to surpass the level of all other creations in existence except myself. Because Allah has given man the authority to be able to rule this universe and beyond. That is why He says in Hadith al-Qudsi, Yabna Adam, son of Adam, Ati'ni aj'alaka mathali. Worship me. Follow my command so that I can make you like myself. So that you can enjoy the status that is yours, rightfully yours. Do not lie. You see, we are so busy in our lives, my fellow brothers, so busy. We don't even at times sit back and reflect for half an hour a day as to why am I here? What is the reason of my existence? Ahmed Faraz, I believe, I'm not sure if this is Ahmed Faraz's poem, but I know it is Faraz. Which Faraz, I don't know. He says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one of his poetries, he says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Mere ihsas ko shiddat na mile, ya mujhe hukme kanaat na mile, jiske milne se khuda ho jaun. You know, what makes me God in this world? Wealth, money, power, this is what makes me God in this world. So he says, jiske milne se khuda ho jaun, ay khuda mujhko wo daulat na mile. He says, jiske milne se khuda ho jaun, ay khuda mujhko wo daulat na mile, aur itna masroof na kar tu ke mujhe tujhse milne ki bhi fursat na mile. Don't make me so busy in my life that I don't have time to even meet you, my Lord. This is our life. We are so engrossed in everything. And we also know that we will not live for more than 60, 70, even that. If that, if we are made in asli ghee, then probably we'll reach 70. If it is true ghee that we have, and the usage of this ghee has taken place. At the moment, the world that we live in, there is nothing that can guarantee us beyond 40 anything. So after 40, it's all a bonus for us. At this place. If you're made in China, I don't know. If you're made in India, I don't know. If you're made in Iraq, Iran, I don't know. But, you know, once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Malakul Maut to Nabi Nuh. Nabi Nuh, according to Quran, lived for 950 years. Yeah, 950 years. The hadith says, the riwayat say, that the mention of 950 years is because he did tabligh for 950 years. But he lived for 2000 years. Quran says 950. So let's stick to 950. Let's forget 2000. He lived for 950 years. When Malakul Maut came to him and said, Nuh, it's time for you to go. He says, oh, already? He says to Malakul Maut, already time for me to go? He says, Nuh, you've lived for 950 years. And you are a lucky one. Not everybody gets that chance. And then he explained to him that there is going to be the Ummah of the Holy Prophet of Islam. And I understand from the rumors up there that the Ummah of the Holy Prophet of Islam will live for 70, 80, 90, 100 years. 110, you are in Guinness Book of Records. So 80, 90, 70, 80, 90 is the moment Nuh, who lived for 950 years, heard that this is all the time that man has. He says to Malakul Maut, لَوْ عَاصَرْتُهُمْ لَقَضَيْتُهَا فِي سَجْدَةٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. If I would have lived in the time of those people, I would have spent my entire time in one sajda of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he could say that, he could afford to say that. Because he had 950 years. We can't afford to say that. We need to do sajda. But sajda has its own philosophy. It does not mean going down only. It has a philosophy of feeling the presence and feeling the intensity of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times is sajda of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyway, coming back to the subject, our existence, my fellow brothers and sisters, is the best of the existences that Allah has created. You and I have been created for a purpose. رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. Our Lord, you have not created this in vain. سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Glory be to you. Save us from the fire of hell. So we need to understand what our existence is to be able to know this lofty status of man. I say it before. You can either be higher than the angels or you can be lower than the animals. Both by the virtue of the verses of Quran. أولئك كالأنعام بل هم أضل. They are like animals. No, they are worse than the animals. Or you are ولقد كرمنا بني آدم. Or we have given Adam the honor of understanding, the honor, and we have carried him in the oceans, and we have carried him over the land. So you, it's the choice of man. If you want, if man wants to be, to downgrade his position, he can be in either one of the groups in Karbala. If he wants to be in the group of Hussein ibn Ali, he is amongst those who has realized his potential, who knows the true from the false, who knows the haqq from the batil, who knows what is right and what is wrong, who has a free mind to make a decision, who is not restricted by the shackles that he is in his traditions, customs and culture. He is a free man to be able to make his own decision, just like Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyah. You know, people say that Hur, on the night of Ashura, was pacing between heaven and hell. That's what we hear from the majlises. And he was trying to make a decision as to what to do. Pacing, that means the impact of the understanding of the true and the truth reached him at that time. No. The status of man who is a free man, a man who has the authority of understanding his freedom, a man who can touch anything that he wants in this world, is a man who makes his own decision. Whatever decision he takes, he makes a decision of his own free will. When I say free will, I mean to explain that if you exercise this intellect of yours, if you use this power of intellect, it will automatically lead you into believing that there cannot be any other power but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't have to be told Usul-e-Din requires this intellect to understand. Hur was there. Hur was a Muslim. Hur prayed. Hur fasted. Hur was a Muslim. Hur thought he was a Muslim. Until the day when he met Hussein ibn Ali. He was following the instructions of Yazid ibn Muawiyah to cut the path of Hussein ibn Ali to go to Kufa, and to send him into a direction of Karbala. So he was acting upon the command of someone. But look at this lofty status of Hussein, huh? He looks at Hur, Hur stops him. You've heard this many times, but I want to make a point from this. Hur stops the army of Hussein. Hur is following his command, the commands of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. He is talking to Hussein ibn Ali. When Hussein found Hur in that state when even the horses had their tongue outside in the scorching heat, they did not have enough water to feed their soldiers, nor did they have enough water to give to the animals. At this time, Hussein instructs Ali Akbar and Abbas, and he tells them, feed these people, give them water, give them. And no, Hussein knows these are my enemies. Hussein knows they have come to stop my path. Hussein knows that these people are going to prevent me to go to Kufa. But the lofty soul and the status of Hussein did not agree with what was happening. Immediately Hussein says to Ali Akbar and Abbas, feed these people water, give them enough water. No, we have a riwayat that says that it was so hot that the horses could not place their feet on the ground. Hussein instructed Abbas to throw water in the feet of the horses so that they could feel some kind of peace in there. That was Hussein. Then there was a conversation that took place between Hur and Imam Ali Salatu Wasalam. In this conversation, Hur tells him that you cannot go back to Medina and you cannot go to Kufa. I allow you to go anywhere else. Unless you pay the oath of allegiance to Yazid ibn Muawiyah and I give you the freedom. Hussein says, no, I will not give any oath of allegiance. I will not pay any oath of allegiance. I will not agree to succumb to any pressure. I am a free man. Hud says to him, in that case, you have to move to a direction which is neither Kufa nor Medina. After the conversation, it got to a point where the argument got a bit heated. At this time, Hussein looked at Hur and said to Hur, Sakalatka ummak ya Hur. May your mother weep over you, O Hur. Look at the ma'rifah of Hur. Hur knew who Hussein was. Although he stopped him, he knew who Hussein was. When Imam alayhi salatu wasalam said, Hur, may your mother weep over you. Hur looked at Imam and said, indeed, you can say that about my mother, but I cannot say that about your mother. Because I am aware of the status of your mother, Fatim. Hur knew. That was the impact on Hur. That conversation was the impact on Hur. That conversation of Hur, despite the fact that he directed him towards Karbala, that was eating him up. That guilt was not allowing Hur to do anything. He could not, from that day onwards, drink water. He could not eat food to his fill. He was there in his thoughts. He was now exercising his free mind and his free power. Therefore, on the night of Ashura, we are told that he was pacing between heaven and hell. He was moving sometimes to this side. Should I take the instructions of Yazid? Should I gain these worldly material gains for myself? Should I go to Hussein ibn Ali and gain Akhirah? He was now pacing between these two places. Finally, in the middle of the night, he made the decision, come what may, I will follow the truth. I think with my free mind. And he decided to go to the camps of Hussein. But when he was pacing, there is a man by the name of Muhajir who came to him. And he said, Hur, you are known to be one of the most courageous men in Arabia. But somehow I see that you are shaking and trembling today. Somehow I see that you have weakened. Somehow I see that your face has become pale. But I wonder why, Hur, why? Because on the opposite side, there is either ladies, or children, or a few young men, or some elderly people. What frightens you, Hur? What is the problem? Muhajir asks Hur. Hur says to Muhajir, Muhajir, come here and keep quiet. Listen to the silence. Just listen to the silence. This man listens. And then Hur asks him, have you heard something? He says, yes, I can hear two things. Subbuhun Quddus, Rabbul Malaikati Ar-Ruh, glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I can hear the little children saying, Al-Atash, Al-Atash, Al-Atash. Thirst. Hur says, don't you understand that these are children who have no fault of theirs? Water has been denied to them. This is the truth. The basic human necessity is being denied to these children. How can I allow this free mind of mine to see what is happening? Indeed, I have made a decision. They say Hur had a brother in the army of Yazid. He also had three sons. And he also had a slave of his own. Hur decided to go there. Azadaran Imam Hussein. Hur decided that he now wants to go to Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. What did he do? He called upon his son. In the riwayat we are told that he called his son and he said to his son that I am so ashamed of my master Hussein. I do not know how I am going to face him. There was a discussion between his brother, his son and the slave. He says, I am wondering what I will do. I don't know how to face my master. But the least I can do is seek his forgiveness. Kindly tie my hands for me, please. So the hands of Hur were tied, huh? His hands were tied. And one, the Zakirin say, and the ulama, some of the ulama I have heard, although I have not seen this myself, but I have heard the Zakirin and the ulama say, that after his hands were tied, he instructed his son to put his hands behind his neck. So that he becomes like a captive. And then he approaches the tents of Hussein ibn Ali. When he comes to the tent of Hussein ibn Ali, He is approaching together with his slave and his son, the tent of Hussein ibn Ali. Hussein knows that Hur is coming. He instructs Abbas to go and receive Hur. Abbas comes in there and sees Hur in that state where he comes as a captive. Someone who is totally helpless. Abbas says to him, Hur, my master has told me to receive you. Hur is brought to Hussein ibn Ali. He comes and throws himself down at the feet of Hussein ibn Ali and says, my master, I realize it is my fault that your children have been denied water for 3 days. I realize that it is I who have denied water to you. I realize that it is my fault. My master, can you please help me? Can you help me to ask your sisters to forgive me? Can you please help me to ask your children to forgive me? Hazrat Imam Hussain alayhi salatu was salam, bas ek martaba, jab mohur pahunch gaye hain maula ke paas, aur uske baad maafi talab kar li, ek martaba janab tareekh mein maktal mein milta hai ke janab Zainab ne Fizza ko bheja, aur bhejne ke baad Fizza se kaha, Fizza, ja ke hur se keh do ke tum aise waqt pe aaye ho ke hum tumhari mehman nawazi nahi kar sakte, khayme mein ek qatra pani bhi nahi ki hum tumhe pani pila sake. Ha main kahunga, ऐ आका जादी, आपका अली असगर प्यासा है और आप मेहमान नवाजी का सोच रही हैं. बस अजादारों हुर पहुंच गए और पहुंचने के बाद एक मर्तबा जनाब हुर ने इजाजत तलब की, मौला मेरा कसूर था, मौला मुझे इजाजत दे दीजिए. हुसैन ने एक मर्तबा कहा, नहीं हुर, मैं तुम्हें इजाजत नहीं दे सकता. हुर का बेटा आया, कहा, यब्न रसूलुल्लाह, अगर मेरे बाबा को इजाजत नहीं देते, आप मुझे इजाजत दे दीजिए. हुर के बेटे को इजाजत मिली. एक मर्तबा हुर का बेटा मक्तल में आया और लड़ने के लिए, जंग के लिए हुर का बेटा मक्तल में पहुंचा. वार पे वार हुए. एक मर्तबा बेटे ने मक्तल से आवाज दी, बाबा मेरी मदद को आइए. एक मर्तबा हुर और हुसैन जमीन के ऊपर खैमे में बैठे हुए थे. हुर खड़े हुए, हुसैन ने कहा, नहीं हुर, बैठ जाओ, ये वक्त इम्तिहान है. हुर बैठ गए. दोबारा एक मर्तबा हुसैन ने, एक मर्तबा बच्चे ने फिर आवाज दी, बाबा मेरी मदद को आइए. फिर हुर खड़े हुए, फिर हुसैन ने बिठला दिया, ये वक्त इम्तिहान है. तीसरी मर्तबा फिर बुलाया, फिर हुसैन ने बिठा दिया. अजादारा ने इमाम हुसैन, एक मर्तबा जब आवाजों का सिलसिला बंद हो गया तो हुर खड़े हुए, मेरे मौला, अब मेरा बेटा शहीद हो गया है, अब मेरे बेटे की आवाज नहीं आ रही, मौला मुझे पुकार रहा है मेरा बेटा. एक मर्तबा हुर फिर खड़े हुए, मौला ने कहा, नहीं हुर, तुम नहीं जाओ, मैं जाऊंगा, इसलिए कि जवान बेटे के लाशे पे जाना आसान नहीं. बेटे, जवान बेटे के लाशे पे जाना आसान नहीं होता. बस अजादारों में कहूंगा, मौला आपको हुर के बेटे का और हुर का इतना ख्याल, जब अली अकबर जमीन पे गिरेंगे आप कौन, आपके साथ कौन होगा. नहीं मेरे अजीज दोस्तों, तसव्वुर शर्त है. जब हम जनाब अली अकबर के मसाइब पढ़ते हैं तो उसमें ये मिलता है कि जब हुसैन अली अकबर की आवाज पे खड़े हुए तो एक मर्तबा तमरावी कहता है कि ठोकरे खा खा के अपने जवान बेटे के लाशे पे पहुंचे हैं. मैं कहूंगा, वो ठोकरे नहीं थी, ये जमीन करबला थी, मौला के कदमों को पकड़ लेती थी, मौला जवान का बेटा, जवान का लाचा है. अजादारा ने इमाम हुसैन, उसके बाद हुर ने इजाजत तलब की और कहा, मेरे सैयद आका, मेरे मौला, मुझे इजाजत दीजिए. हुर को इजाजत मिली. बस अजादारा ने इमाम हुसैन, जब एक मर्तबा हुर को इजाजत मिली है, हुर कतलगाह में आए. हुर ने एक मर्तबा वार किया, एक नहीं कई वार किए, मगर कब तक हुर रह सकते थे. आखिरकार जब हुर जमीन पे आए हैं तो पहले अश्किया की तरफ मुखातिब होके कहा, यह हुसैन है, यह सच्चाई पे है, यह हुसैन है, इसको कत्ल न करना, मैंने कल रात बहुत सोचा है, यह हुसैन है, इसको कत्ल न करना. ये रज पढ़ते पढ़ते एक मर्तबा जमीन पे गिरे, आवाज दिए, सलाम अलैक या अबा अब्दुल्लाह, अदरिकनी, ऐ अबा अब्दुल्लाह, मेरी मदद को आइए. बस अजादारों, एक मर्तबा हुसैन, एक मर्तबा हुसैन खैमे से रवाना हुए और हुर के लाशे के पास आए. जब पहुंचे हैं तो देखा कि हुर जख्मी हालत में थे. हाँ, एक किसी ने गुर्ज लगाया था मौला की पेशानी के ऊपर. ایک مرتبہ حور کے پاس بیٹھے, حور کا سر لیا, زانو پہ رکھا اور کہا یہ جملے کہے مولا نے کہ تمہاری ماں نے تمہارا نام سچا رکھا ہے, تمہارا نام حر رکھ کے سچ نام رکھا ہے, انت حر فی الدنیا والآخرہ, تم دنیا میں بھی آزاد ہو, تم آخرت میں بھی آزاد ہو, تم یہاں بھی حر ہو, تم وہاں بھی حر ہو. یہ کہہ کے ایک مرتبہ مولا نے رومال سیدہ نکالا, مولا نے رومال سیدہ نکالا اور حر کی پیشانی پہ باندھ دیا. میں کہوں گا حر یہ آپ کی خوش قسمتی ہے کہ جناب سیدہ کے ہاتھوں کا بنا ہوا رومال آپ کی پیشانی پہ لگایا گیا اور نبی زادیوں کی چادر کربلا میں لوٹ لی.
يعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب يقلبون ما تنفسهم.